This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Late last year, there was a documentary that featured Dorsey Levins, the ex-running back for the Green Bay Packers. The documentary is called Bell Rung. And it was a film in which Dorsey Levins and other former NFLers asked questions about the headaches that they had been suffering since retiring from the NFL and the concussions that they had suffered and the impact it was having on their lives.
If you want to do something, make sure that the veteran health care is in place, that these guys can get tested early so that maybe you can have a better future.
It's so deep, it really makes you wonder, like, if I had a son, do I really want him to play this game?
Well, that's an important question that a lot of people across America are asking themselves after the NFL this week agreed to a $765 million settlement with 4,500-some-odd players who are retired from the league and suffering from problems brought on by those concussions. Here's former Chicago Bears Super Bowl winning quarterback Jim McMahon.
They knew about it, and they didn't tell us. You know, that's just like flat out lying to you, just looking in the face and lying to you.
Here to talk about that settlement and what it means for the NFL and for fans watching the game, and most importantly, for players past, present, and future, is Ken Belsing, who writes about the business of sports for the New York Times. Ken, welcome to America Weekend.
Morning.
Who is this good for?
It's good for the players who already have serious illnesses and are looking to have some additional financial cushion. Most of the players who have, for example, ALS, Parkinson's, serious dementia, many of them can apply for disability benefits through something called the Mackey Plan or Mackey Fund, which is jointly administered by the NFL and the NFL Players Union, and that already covers a lot of their medical costs. Of course, you have to apply for it and have a serious condition already. This will provide extra income for them. And then the players, the other retirees who may have symptoms like the ones that you just illustrated with Dorsey Levins, can get some testing to see if they're potentially going to have problems in the future. And then there presumably will be money for them as well.
What about for the league? What's the impact on the NFL?
If you looked at it in a dollar cents equation, the league did very well by this. $765 million is the very rough equivalent of what the Jacksonville Jaguars sold for 2 years ago, which is to say the equivalent of one club. However, they only have to pay half of that money in the first 3 years, and the rest of it they could pay over 17 years. So again, if you do the math on that, that's divided by 32 teams is not a very heavy burden for the league. The other key point is that they've expanded the class here from beyond the 4,500 plaintiffs to all 18,000 retirees. And what that does is, although it sounds incredibly generous, which at some level it is, what it does is it makes it much harder for another player in the future to sue the league. Because if they do, number one, it's going to be harder to find players who are still aggrieved. And number two, a judge is going to say, well, the NFL already settled with all the retirees. So it really buys them a kind of legal immunity from future lawsuits. And third, and perhaps most important, they never had to admit any wrongdoing. And you just played that clip from Jim McMahon about what they knew and whether they lied to the players or not. That discussion will probably not fully happen or be explored in court. And that was a potential PR nightmare for the league had that happened.
Yeah. After McMahon was told what the settlement was, he was asked that question, do you still feel that it was wrong to settle? And here's what he said.
These guys have been suffering for a long time, both financially and mentally. And, now it's going to be, hopefully bring some relief to those families.
And here's what Chris Seeger, who's an attorney for the plaintiffs, the players, said when asked, this is not much money, as you just pointed out, Ken. This is not much money in terms of how much the NFL brings in. That's $765 million. That's not even half of what ESPN pays for broadcast rights. Here's what the attorney said.
This litigation didn't require $9 billion to settle it. It required a sufficient amount of money to make sure that the benefits would be payable to the players when they needed them.
The question is this really sufficient to make any of these players whole from the damage that was done to their brains?
Well, it's a worthy question. Unfortunately, if you've lost all your mental faculties, there's no dollar figure on that. If you're a wife taking care of a husband or a kid looking up to his father. The dollar amounts are incalculable. But at some point, we live in a society where you try and come up with a number, and this is the number they came up with. And it's, I mean, in all these settlements, it's to say $765 million is a lot or a little doesn't take into account the alternatives. And the alternative was potentially years of litigation with no guarantee of a similar payoff. And so at a certain point, the lawyers for the players sat down and said, well, do we want $765 million now or the possibility of $5 billion in 10 years or maybe nothing in 10 years? We don't know what the judge in the case was going to rule. And there's a lot of risk on both sides. She could have thrown out major portions of the case, which would have shrunk the number of retirees eligible for a trial. So there are a lot of dangers in going forward, and from the NFL as well. They don't want this on the front page of the newspapers every single day either. So both sides had a reason to come to the middle. Whether $765 million is fair enough is going to be hard to determine, but it does get money to players now, and I think that was important for everybody.
Do you think this will change how we watch the NFL?
Absolutely. One of the effects of this decision is not that it necessarily put a dollar amount on damages, but it showed other leagues and other associations like the NCAA what it could cost future lawsuits if they were brought against, say, the NHL, lacrosse, women's soccer, all sorts of other sports. And what that does is it, if you will, scares the leagues into doing more now. So I think you're going to see more protective measures, proactive protective measures being taken, regulations changed, helmets worn where they weren't before, different types of helmets, more research spent on concussions itself, so that the leagues get out in front of the safety issue. And that's significant if you have a player, a young player, a 10-year-old, 12-year-old playing football now. You see changes, for example, in Pop Warner football with them limiting the number of contact drills that young kids are allowed to do. They still do, ironically, more than NFL players do. But I think the league officials on multiple levels in multiple sports are, if you will, getting scared by these issues and are trying to do something about them.
Yeah, the NFL limited the amount of contact that their players can have in training camp this summer, and yet there were kids, as you point out, all across the country who were still banging heads. And I can't help but wonder, I'm an NFL fan, I look forward to the season every year, but now when I see a receiver go over the middle and he gets laid out by a safety or a cornerback, I'm going to be thinking, there's that guy's skull getting rattled pretty good.
Yeah, a couple of years ago when Colt McCoy of the Browns got knocked out and then came back in the following series, it was a national discussion, not just because it was Monday night, but because he readily admitted he didn't know what he was doing when he was put back in the game. And, as horrible as that was, at least there was a discussion about it. He wasn't patted on the back for doing his job. He was actually admitting that this was dangerous. So I think the conversation has shifted. And that takes time. It's not a secret that the NFL was prodded into doing this. The commissioner was brought in front of Congress in 2009. They were not necessarily ahead of this issue at the beginning. But I think Roger Goodell, the commissioner, realizes that he has to be now. There's one other small point worth mentioning is that, had this case gone to trial and that we'd spent 5 years or whatever litigating it at the NFL level, the NFL would have been reluctant to make more changes for safety relations for fear that the lawyers would use it as evidence that their previous standards weren't adequate. So in a way, this litigation disappearing paves the way for the NFL to institute even more changes that it might have been afraid to do with the looming litigation.
Well, as a football fan, I'm looking forward to watching the season, but I will be definitely cognizant of how I feel as those games go on. And I also can't help but wonder if all the highlight packages on ESPN, SportsCenter, and elsewhere will perhaps tone that down. I bet that the NFL Network won't show as many of those hard hits where a guy's ringing his bell is getting rung, to use the phrase from the documentary. I bet that'll be cut down quite a bit as this season goes along. Ken Belson is the sports writer for the New York Times who writes about the business of sports. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thanks, pleasure.
And that other question that Dorsey Levins asked about kids, how they will play, that'll be interesting to watch as a trend going forward as well. This is America Weekend. America.